It's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of God. And it's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of God with those who love God. I'm just happy to be in God's house on this morning. I want you to understand, a lot of people didn't make it through this week. A lot of people don't have the energy, the health to be able to be here with you like you are this week. But God saw fit for one reason or the other. I ain't going to ask him what his reason was. I'm just glad he saw fit to allow us to be here another day to worship and to praise him. Aren't you just glad that God is good? I think every now and then we should just be happy that God is good. And happy because God is doing some things with us and protecting us and leading us in just a very powerful way. I'm just happy to be a child of God. I'm serious. I don't know what my sermon going to be like today, but I tell you this. At the end of the day, I'm going to have the same happiness that I had when I got here. And that's just to be a child of God. This week has been an especially challenging week for me. Yesterday was a challenging day for me as we did a memorial service for a 13-year-old student that I used to have, a seventh grader, that was murdered, tragically taken in his own home by his mother's ex-boyfriend. And we had the opportunity to honor his life. And I'm telling you, that thing weighed on my heart every day this week. And I was so happy to be able to share and to honor his life with his grandparents and his father. But when I got through with that thing last night, I said, phew. And after that, I've been waiting ever since then to get here. Because I knew that there's strength in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to get into scripture. We've been studying a passage. We've been studying the miracles the last few times that I've preached. And we're going to conclude our study with the messages in the miracles. I think, and I've said this every time, as an opening or introduction to our studies of the miracles, is that the miracles are designed for us to believe that God is the Son of God. They're designed for us to understand that he is God on earth. But not only are they designed for that, there are also some very practical miracles that some practical messages that we can take out of the miracles. And so today, I want us to look at the miracle in Matthew, the 8th chapter. And you see the title for our today's scripture is Just As I Am. Like I said, this study has been a powerful one for me. And this particular message is a powerful one for me, considering last week, knowing that I can come to God just as I am. And I think sometimes we sing that song, and we sing that song at invitation, and we think about it as a song that just talks about sin and coming to. But I need you to understand those words, those four words, just as I am, are extremely powerful, because what it really does is it takes away the burden of us trying to be anything other than who we really are. See, sometimes we walk around daily with this burden of being what we expect people think that we are. We walk around with this mask on. We walk around with this facade. We walk around almost faking it on a regular basis. When we go to work, a lot of times we go to work and we pretend to be different people. Y'all, am I the only person here? I understand. See, because sometimes, like, I'm a middle school principal, and there's some days where I don't really want to be a middle school principal. Can I be honest? And I have to wake up in the morning time, and I have to pretend to be a middle school principal. I know I am one, but some days I'm just not at the, I just don't wake up feeling like I am a middle. So sometimes I have to put on a different face when I walk on a face that I don't necessarily feel like putting on. But God has allowed us to come to Him just as we are. I don't have to fake nothing with God. When I come to God, I can come to Him just like I am. I can come to Him unadulterated. I can come to Him free. I can come to Him and be authentic. I can come to Him and be transparent. And the good thing about it is that He loves us just as we are. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 8, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed Him. And there was a leper who came to Him and knelt before Him saying, Lord, if You choose, You can make me clean. And He, speaking of Jesus, stretched out His hand and touched Him, saying, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately His leprosy was clean. Then Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Like I said earlier, from this passage of scripture, I want to look at the title, Just As I Am. Now, let me give you context. Jesus has just finished a sermon in Matthew 7. And the Bible says at the end of Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, that when they heard, when Jesus finished saying what He had said, the crowd were astounded at His teachings. And they were astounded because He taught with authority. I mean, He taught as if, right? And at that point in time, they're not truly convinced that He is the Son of God. I want you to understand this. But He taught with authority like He was the Son of God. That's their mindset right now. Now, you and I know that He is the Son of God. But at this stage in the study, they have not quite believed that He's the Son of God, but they are definitely coming to this understanding that He is someone who has authority. So what happens is, because He preaches with a certain level of confidence and a certain level of authority, they begin to follow Him. Now, the reason why they're following Him is because they have gleaned from His teachings that He has power. That's just a little lesson there. When you have power, good or bad, people will follow. That ain't even in the sermon. I just had to pass that on. But they are following Jesus. And they are on a high because of what He's taught, right? And now, so they are following Jesus, and the Bible says that many have begun to follow Him. And then Jesus does what a lot of people don't follow. Jesus went from preaching a sermon to living a sermon. He went from talking in Matthew 7. He went from preaching a sermon in Matthew 7 to actually doing what He said He was going to do in Matthew 8. Now watch this. Once He does that, we don't see the crowd anymore. Yeah, I missed it. Now the crowd might be there. I don't know. But there's no evidence that when Jesus is approached by the leper, that the crowd is with Him. Now, we can look and we can break this down a number of different ways. We know that the lepers were isolated on the outside of the city. We know that people didn't want to come within 6 feet of the lepers. We know that when lepers even walked up to rabbis, that they would throw stones at them to try to give them away. We know that if a leper even entered into your door of your house, then your whole house was unclean. So we understand that at this point in time, all the evidence in the text shows that Jesus, the leper, approaches Him, but all those people that were following Him were gone, right? Now, I know what you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing. Right now, you're going to miss it because you're going to take this time to judge all the people who left Jesus when He started doing His work. Be careful now, because sometimes what will happen is we'll look at the scripture and we'll say, ain't that a shame? They loved Jesus when he was just preaching, doing all that. But soon as Jesus started living his life, all them people that said they loved Jesus started leaving him. I never leave Jesus. Watch what you say. And watch how you judge. I just need to get that out in the open. They could have been around in the periphery. I'm not sure. I'm just saying that in this text, there's no evidence that they are there. All right. Now, so, but I want you to be careful. And because leprosy was a quite cruel disease. Leprosy changed the body. If you got a sensitive stomach, you might want to close your eyes for the next few slides. Leprosy changed the body. Leprosy was a disease that slowly over time ate away the body, the limbs. One of the first things that leprosy usually ate away were the eyelids. And you will see that, now you're starting to see, if you was following Jesus and he walked up on somebody like that, you might have backed away too. I'm just saying, just be careful not to judge. But leprosy was quite a horrific disease. And those people that were around lepers, they didn't want to have anything to do with them. Because there was this common notion that if you were around a leper and if you had contact with lepers, then you might be infected with leprosy yourself. Now, when I look at these pictures and see that, I'm not sure if I would have walked over there either. Especially if my belief was that if I spent some time with this person, I might end up like this. I'm just saying, I want to make it real for y'all so we can get to the real. You know, leprosy ate away all of the limbs. And they said leprosy could last as long as 20 or 30 years. So it was a slow, agonizing death. You follow me? And so the crowd, when they saw this, there's no evidence they were present. And I believe they don't want to have nothing to do with the leper. They don't want to spend time talking about it. They don't want to do nothing with the leper. I don't want to look at the leper is what I believe. We can learn a lot about ourselves, right? I mean, about the crowd. But what I want us to do is look at the leper, not the crowd. I want us to look at the leper because I think if we can learn how we are to approach Jesus by the way that the leper approached Jesus, and we can learn how we can be cleaned of our own leprosy if we have the attitude that the leper had. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, leprosy, I got all my limbs. I need you to understand, you are a leper as well. See, you, just like the leper, are sick without Jesus. Let me make it a little bit more plain. Terminally ill without Jesus. What does terminally ill mean? That means without Jesus, you're going to die. I need us to really understand and embrace the fact that you and me without Jesus is a death sentence. So when we look at this passage of scripture, remember the whole series is the messages within the miracles. So we got to figure out what we can learn from the miracles that Jesus produced. You can follow me? We need to learn. I think we can learn quite a bit about how we should respond when we study the leper. Some of us will want to look at and look at Jesus only. We're going to look at Jesus too. But the reason why we don't want to spend some time looking at the leper is because we don't want to be related to the leper. But I need you all to drop that mask. I need you to drop that wall that you have up. That wall that you tell the world that you got everything together. I need you, in order for you to really embrace this lesson and get what needs to be taken away from the lesson, I need you just to accept that you're sick. I'm going to let that sit. I need you to accept that you're sick. I got a few of my students here today. I meant to say that earlier. They came to church. Three of them came here today. They made my whole day. Came around and gave me a hug. That made me happy. Made me happy. Anyway, but you're sick. So let's learn from the leper. How did the leper approach Jesus? The leper is sick, y'all. He looked bad, right? Everybody knows that he's sick. And I think in some ways he has some advantages. And I want you to just walk down this thought process with me. In some ways, I think the leper has some advantages. And his advantage, and one advantage that I think he has, is that he's not trying to fake like he ain't sick. See, sometimes what hurts us is that we try to fake like something's not wrong with us, so then we can't go really receive help because we're telling everybody else that we're not sick. So the leper has an advantage. He knows he's sick. And he knows that he has nothing to lose. So the leper walks to God, and he walks to God with confidence. He had no doubt that Jesus could fix him. He didn't say, "Lord, I'm wondering if you would." He said, "Lord, if you will, can you make me clean?" You see the confidence that he has? He walks up to God, body all messed up, everybody else all gone, walks up to God, and he says, "Lord, if you will, would you make me clean?" Confident. See, he understood. See, his confidence is in God himself. Every time I say confidence, I got to be careful, because sometimes when I say he walked to God with confidence, we'll take the message that he walked to God pridefully. That's not what he did. He walked to God with confidence, but the confidence that he had was in the power of God, not in himself. You see that? That's important, because when you take on the world this week, you need to walk with confidence as well. But you need to walk in confidence, not because you're going to be able to overcome all the things that you go through. You're going to walk in confidence because God is leading you. So he walks in. See, the leper knew that a normal Orthodox scribe would have thrown rocks at him when he started to approach him. He knew that he would be stoned away. But he also had confidence that Jesus had power and was willing to welcome him. And that also. See, so I can be sick physically or spiritually, and I can get on my knees and walk to the throne of God with confidence. And I can walk to the throne of God with confidence, because I am sure that God has the power and that he is willing to heal me of my leprosy. See, I need you to understand this, because if you understand it, then you're more willing to deal with and overcome the thing that you're dealing with. See, we can't overcome the thing that we're dealing with because a lot of times we don't admit that we're dealing with something. And the other reason is that once we admit, we don't have enough faith that God will fix or help us with the thing that we're dealing with. But Christians, those of us who love God, you need to walk to God with confidence. Confidence that he'll help you through whatever it is you're going through. And the reason why he'll help you through whatever you're going through is because he is God. He understood it. No way, no one need ever feel too unclean to come to Jesus. Yeah, I can stop right now. We can do an invitation. But there's still some more lessons that we need to learn. So I want you to understand, we learn from the leper to come to God with confidence. Watch this. We also learn to come to God with humility. See, now the reason why I put humility right behind confidence is just to reinforce the idea that his confidence was not in himself. His confidence was in God. See, he said, "Lord, if you will, please clean me. He says, pretty much is what he's saying, "I know I really don't matter. I know the rest of the world don't care nothing about me. I know the others flee every time they come in my presence. I know that I have no right to come to you. I have no claim to you, Jesus. I have no right at all. But if you will, clean me." See, he said, "But perhaps in your divine nature, perhaps you will see it in your heart to look down on me with mercy and clean me. Wow, what a way to walk to God. What if we walk to God with confidence that he can fix and help us through everything that we go through? What if we did that? But what if we walked to God with the confidence in him, but the humility, the spirit of humbleness ourselves? God, I know that Darwin ain't worth a nickel. Now, I'm going to use my name because if I say y'all's name, y'all be offended. I know Darwin's not worth a nickel. I know I really have no right to your grace. I know that I'm sick. I know that I'm struggling. I know that I'm going through something. But God, I know. But if you would, clean me. We can learn a lot from the leper. He came to God with humility. He just said, Lord, I need to be clean. Don't raise your hand, but in your heart, blink your eyes twice if you know you need to be clean. Some of y'all should read about 17 times. Stuttering blink. I just need to be clean, Lord. And I'm humble enough to just ask you, Lord, clean me. Clean me. I'm just talking to myself, and if y'all would just listen to me talk to myself, it will be all right. My brother Jones, David Jones, used to say, he's a funny guy. He used to say, I like talking to myself. I don't believe what he's. Well, he said, I like talking to myself. We said, Brother Jones, why you like talking to yourself? He said, well, two reasons. I like to talk to smart people, and I like to hear smart people talk. But the leper came with humility. And then the leper, this is it. All this is attitude. I'm really, really working on attitude. This is what I need you to understand. If we get our attitude right, we can get ourselves right. So you notice everything that I'm addressing is about attitude. Attitude. He came with humility. He came with confidence in God. And then he came with reverence. How do I know? The Bible said that he knelt down, right? And he said, Lord. Lord, if you're willing, please clean me. See that? Lord, if you're willing, the simple fact that he called Jesus Lord lets you know that he knew he was God. And then watch his posture. He said, if you, Lord, I'm kneeling down to you. Lord, God. Savior, Holy One, if you will, clean me. He understood that God was God. And once he understood that God was God, then he approached God like he was God. See, sometimes we know that God is God, but we still approach him like we God. What do you mean, dog? We walk to God and we say, Lord, fix it. Lord, I need this. We demand things from God as if we deserve it. But this leper got on his knees and he walked to God and he treated God like he was God. Y'all gonna understand. He had an attitude of humility and he had an attitude of reverence. He said, God, Lord, what's my posture? I can't do it without you. I know you're God. I wasn't there to hear the sermon because I can't come that close. I can hear the sermon, but I know something about you. I know you gotta be God. Your presence has to be God, and because I recognize you are God, even though I didn't hear you last chapter. I didn't just come to you and say, Lord, yes. If you will help me. Your attitude means everything. What are you saying, darling? I'm saying that sometimes when we approach God, we don't approach God like he's God. We approach God like he's a genie in a bottle. Or we approach God like we deserve everything God has given us. But the leopard approached God like he was God. Like you deserve everything. I'm nothing without you. God, help me. Let me help you with this. My son is a live wire. He's a real deal. My daughter, same thing, y'all. She might have y'all fooled, but she a trip too. But my son and my daughter ask for things from me. They ask for things from their mother. They ask their things from their grandparents. They communicate on a regular basis. My son last week hurt himself. I didn't even see what he did. I don't know. I didn't believe he was hurt. He walked up to me and he said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I hurt my foot. I hurt my foot." And he showed me his foot. And I looked at the foot. I didn't see nothing on the foot. And I said, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Go ahead. Continue to do what you're going to do." He looked at me and he said, "FaceTime Mama." I'm getting somewhere with this. I said, and I made the "oh my goodness" face, but I FaceTimed his mother. As the phone started to ring, he started to change his attitude. Watch it. He came to me and said, "Daddy, my foot is hurt." When the phone started going, and he knew his mama was getting ready to answer. By the time his mama connected to the phone, he looked, he said, "Mama." "Mama, I can't walk on my foot. I need you to understand, what am I bringing up?" When he got ready to talk to his mama, he approached his mama like his mama. He had a different attitude because he realized who his mother was. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you walk to God, you got to approach God like he's God. You got to have a different attitude than when you talk to everybody else, because when you talk to God, you're talking to God. We can learn it from the lesson, from the leper. Sometimes you just need to get on your knees and say, "Lord, if you will, help me." And then Jesus comes. It's the part that makes you happy. Jesus' initial response was compassion. Everybody else ran away from him. Jesus stretched out his hand. And he said, "Lord, if you will, if you choose, help me." This right here brought tears to my eyes when I read it. Jesus responded in the affirmative. He said, "I do choose." Y'all miss? He said, "Lord, if you choose." And then Jesus acknowledged his power. And he looked back at him. He said, "I do choose. I am going to help you." And then he said some powerful stuff. He said, "Be clean." See, when everybody else leaves, Jesus stretched out his hand. When everybody else is afraid to get away from you because they don't want to be a part of your collateral damage, Jesus reaches out his hand. When you in your darkest hour, and you're grieving and you're struggling, or you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, and everybody else is gone, Y'all know when you lose someone, anybody lose somebody in your life? You know, for about 2 months, everybody around. But about 3 months in, they start disappearing. And you laid up at night, grieving, struggling, depressed. All those things are going on. And yet nobody else is around anymore. They don't want to be around. They already gave you a window of opportunity to grieve. And now that's over, so you need to get yourself right. When that happens, Jesus says, I do choose. He's still there. And he stretched out his hand. The rabbi would have stoned him away. The crowd was so high, the Jesus servant was nowhere to be found once when he touched him. But Jesus said, I do choose. Be made clean. And as a result, the leper was healed. Some people say, well, why did Jesus tell him? Don't tell nobody. That's how I know it wasn't too many people around. Because he couldn't have told nobody, don't tell nobody, if all them people were still there. But he said, I do choose. Be made clean. When it comes to Jesus, there's no law that's greater than his love. And that's the reason why we follow him. See, you got leprosy. I got leprosy. We got leprosy. Us got leprosy. I don't know. However you want to look at it. We all do something. But it's the way to approach the Lord. Approach him with confidence in him. And approach him with humility yourself. Approach him with reverence. And then watch what he does. He responds with compassion. Just like he gave his hand to the leper to heal him of his leprosy, he gave his life for you and I to heal us from our sins. That's exactly what he did. Jesus came on this world, did nothing but good, and died a criminal's death for a bunch of criminals. That be you and me, y'all. Well, that, he died on the cross like a criminal for criminals. But the good thing is that when he died, he got down there, whooped death. Oh, my goodness. He whooped death, y'all. Got back up. And when he got up, he said, all power belongs to me. That's the gospel story. We need you to believe on it if you haven't done it yet. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that he died for your sins. Believe that he rose on the third day. Repent of your sins. Confess his sweet name. And then through obedience, go down in the water grave of baptism. And when you get up, walk with him. Some of us have already gone down in the water grave of baptism. We got up and we started real good. We were like the crowd. We was emotional when we got down. You know, we got real high. But then once we got down, our walk started to look a little different. What you mean? See, it's not about your emotion. It's not about how high you jump. It's about how straight you walk when you land. Some of us just, we jumped real high. We felt real good. We was on fire for Jesus for a little bit. And now that straight walk is starting to be a little crooked. Now we talk to God like he owes us something. Now we don't remember how to have a spirit of humility. And we need to confess of that. Or maybe you've been walking good. You've been doing your very best. You've been staying close to God, but life is just whooping you pretty good. All you got to do is come down and say, Lord, if you will. And I promise you, he'd say, I do. Oh, my goodness. When I was married, my wife, we was getting married. I mean, she had the ring, y'all. She had the ring for about 18 months. We was, you know, and we got to the wedding day. And I, you know, sang my song and she came down. And then they started giving them vows. And I was a little nervous because I knew it wasn't real until she said, I do. But when she said, I knew she was committed for the rest of her life. God told the leper, I do choose. I'm committed. And he'll do the same for you. If you're struggling, Lord, I need your help. I will help. Lord, I need your grace. I'll give it. Lord, I need your mercy. I got some. Lord, I need your power. Come fool with me. Lord, I need all that you have. If you would, do you? I do. See, sometimes the reason why you don't get the right answer is because you're not answering the right question. Lord, will you help? That's the question you need to ask. If you're struggling, Lord, come in my life. That's what you need. Lord, will you come in? That's what you need to ask. And I promise you, 100 times out of 100, if you come to God with this attitude, he'll respond in the affirmative. And you can do that right now. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Some of y'all just need, we need some help. And God is the helper. God is the one that'll fix it for us. God is the one that'll clean us up. God is the one who will accept us. And he doesn't even need you to do anything different. He just needs you to come just as you are. Don't go try to get it fixed up before you come to God. Come just as you are. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm going to come to God next week. I got to get myself together before I can. No. Come just as you are. Don't go and say, wait. My shirt and tie ain't fixed right. I need to get me a new suit so everybody see me. They won't hear. No. Come like you are. Well, they say, don't say, well, I need to take about, let me get about 4 or 5 days without drinking first. And then I'm going to come to God next week. Because then that way I'll be in a good enough shape. No. You can stumble. Come on down now. Let me and my wife have a good week together. And then next week we're going to come down and we're going to be able to say in our confession, we've been living good, we've been doing right, we just want to grow better. No, come now. Amen. Don't play around with God. Come just as you are. Amen. Don't wait another day for your kids to get it right. If he's struggling, come pray for him now. Amen. You can do it right now as we sing the song of invitation.